नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 8th canto, chapter 12, text number 6. Tavaiva charanam bojam. Tavaiva charanam bojam. Shreyas kama nirashishaha. Shreyas kama nirashishaha. Visrijobayataha sangam. Visrijobayata sangam. Munaya samupassate. Munaya samupassate. Tavaiva charanam bojam. Shreyas kama nirasishaha. Visrijo bayantaha sangam. Munaya samupassate. Tavaiva charanam bojam. Shreyas kama nirashishaha. Visrijo bayataha sangam. Munaya samupassate. Vaishnavis, Tava, your, Eva, indeed, Charana Ambojam, lotus feet, Shreya Kamaha. Persons desiring the ultimate auspiciousness, the ultimate goal of life. Nirashishaha. Without material desire. Vishrijoy. Giving up. Upayataha. In this life and the next. Sangam. Attachment. Munaya. Great sages. Samupasate. Worship. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotees, or great saintly persons, who desire to achieve the highest goal in life, and who are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, engage constantly in the transcendental service of your lotus feet. Please repeat. Pure devotees, or great saintly persons, who desire to achieve the highest goal in life and are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, engage constantly in the transcendental service of your lotus feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One in the material world, or one is in the material world when he thinks, I am this body, and everything with reference to my body is mine. Ato griha chetra sutapta vitar janasya mahoyam aham mameti. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8. This is the symptom of material life. In the materialistic conception of life, one thinks, this is my house. This is my land. This is my family. This is my state. And so on. But those who are Munaya, saintly persons, following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, simply engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, without any personal desire for sense gratification. Anya bilasita sunyam. Jnana karmadi anavritam. That's from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. Either in this life or in the next, the only concern of such saintly devotees is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, they are also absolute because they have no other desires. Being freed from the dualities of material desire, they are called Shreyash Kama. In other words, they are not concerned with dharma, religiosity, artha, economic development, or kama, sense gratification. The only concern of such devotees is moksha, liberation. This moksha does not refer to becoming one with the Supreme like the Mayavadi philosophers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that real moksha means taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead. The Lord clearly explained this fact while instructing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to correct the word Muktipada in Srimad Bhagavatam, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed him that there is no need to correct any word in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He explained that Muktipada refers to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who offers mukti and is therefore called Mukunda. A pure devotee is not concerned with material things. He is not concerned with religiosity, economic development, or sense gratification. He is only interested in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Jnana Tamanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. Tavaiva Charanam Bojam Shreyas Kama Nira Sishaha Vishrijo Bayataha Sangam Munaya Samupashate. Pure devotees are great saintly persons who desire to achieve the highest goal in life and are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, engage constantly in the transcendental service of your lotus feet. So today's class, if this was working, we could show you what the theme would be. I had the word Shreya Kamaha, and you have to use your imagination today. There was an update in Apple software, so some or another there were some quirks that wasn't working. So in the background, you can see nothing but mushrooms. I mean, not mushrooms, but marshmallows. They kind of look like mushrooms in the picture, but they're marshmallows. And this is interesting because there was this test. It's called the marshmallow test. And you could imagine yourself in school, and the teacher comes before you and puts this really nice marshmallow sandwich right in front of you. Very nice. And he says, okay, everybody gets one. But I have to leave the room for a few minutes. And when I get back, if the marshmallow sandwich is still there, you get another one. So this is actually a test to determine, it's like the number one test to determine amongst 3- and 4-year-olds what the quality and the success of their life will be in the future. So it turns out that 50% of the students eat the marshmallows. And 50% of the other students, they don't. So what's the difference between the ones that did and the ones that don't? Some or another, the ones that don't eat the marshmallow, they've somehow or another understood that they have no control in themselves practically. So what do? They put their head down on the table, close their eyes, they look at their shoes, they look around the room, they look outside the window. And what about the 50% that do eat? What do? They stare at it. And they can't help themselves. It looks so good. You should see this picture. Very nice picture of a nice marshmallow chocolate-covered sandwich. So this is reminds you of the Bhagavad Gita. While contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment for them. Or the other verse that says, even one of the roaming senses, what you focus on, they become swept away. So we can see this is very interesting. So this relates to the word in the purport, Shreyas Kamaha. There's Shreyas and there's Prayas. And Srila Prabhupada says, an intelligent human being should know the difference between Shreyas and Prayas. So what is Prayas? Prayas means where you get immediate gratification, where you want to satisfy your senses immediately. You want to get the things of this material world that are very attractive. You want to taste something immediately. And it's described throughout Prabhupada's books. What this means really is artha, kama, moksha. Artha, kama, what's it called? Artha, kama, dharma, and moksha. So these are the four things that we try to get in this material world. But what is prayas? Prayas means that we should realize what is the ultimate goal. I mean, shreyas, sorry. So prayas, some or another, the children in this class, they realize that there's something more, there's more benefit here, so let me wait. And I will get two. So In the same way, we have to be intelligent enough to understand when to say no. And this is what all life is about. Is there so many marshmallows being put before us, and we have to say no. So what are the marshmallows in our life? These are all kinds of opportunities for sense gratification. But as we learn in this verse and purport, it's describing a pure devotee. And how does a pure devotee act? A pure devotee is described as one who's not interested in sense gratification. He's not interested in thinking about sense gratification. He's just interested in supplying ingredients, performing activities, thinking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead just in order to please him. That's his only concern. But what do we find today? Most people are just thinking about so many different things. Actually, there was a devotee who had so many problems, you know, and then eventually they had to take him to some psychiatric care. And what the psychologist had determined that this person thinks too much. He's thinking too much about, oh, what that person said about me today. Oh, and this happened to me. And what about this? And what about that? And we're just thinking constantly too much about everything, every little thing in this material world. But isn't that what a muni is described in this verse? It described the munayo, the plural munis. What do they do? Well, that verse is very interesting. That word, muni, is described throughout Prabhupada's books. And there's different understandings. There's a muni actually means a person who is a mental speculator. And if he doesn't speculate something different than other mental speculators, then he's not considered to be a good muni, right? Well, there's different kinds of munis. There's Charvaka muni. And what was his philosophy, his thinking? You know, whatever you do, beg, borrow, or steal, get ghee. Because you can enjoy nicely with ghee. Cook nice foodstuffs. But then there's Narada Muni, it's mentioned in this verse. What a difference. Narada Muni is just simply interested in satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Glorifying him. Spreading news about him. Converting people into devotees. We see that so much. So we had some nice pictures here of different devotees. Of course, we see Lord Shiva. You know, he's a muni. He's actually described as a Mahajan. And this is where the truth of everything is hidden in the hearts of the pure devotees. This is where the truth is. So we have to listen to these prayers of Lord Shiva. They're very wonderful. So he's approaching the Lord with his wife and begging, you know, offering such wonderful prayers and high philosophy, just so he can see this Mohini Murti form. And there's also a nice verse that describes from the Madhya Lila, Tarko Patishta Shutayo Vibina Nasavishir Yasha Matam Na Binam Dharmasha Tattvam Nihitam Guyahatam Mahajano Yena Gata Sapantaha. So that was Lord Chaitanya. He was saying, how dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated self-realized person. Consequently, as the Shastras confirm, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajans advocate. So then we had a picture here of Lord Rishabhdev, which Prabhupada had quoted a verse from him. And there's another nice verse that's quoted in the fifth canto, fifth chapter, verse 1. Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke kastan kaman Arhate vid bujam ye. Tapo divyam putraka yena. Satvam surayed. Yasmad brahma sukayam tva anantam. So what does that mean? Many people know, I'm sure. But anyway, he says, this is Rishabhdev talking to his 100 sons. He said, my dear boys, of all living entities who have accepted mature bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal, blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. So that was very nice. He's a Mahajan, and so we have to follow in the footsteps of these great souls. And then there's there's this King Nimi in the 11th cantos. Very nice stories and different inquiries from the king to the 9 Yogendras. And there's some very amazing information given on how we can actually get free from this illusion of the material energy. There's a whole chapter actually entitled, what is it called? Freedom from Illusion, or Liberation from the Illusory Energy. So there's some very nice quotes here that he was explaining in the same way how the king was asking him, how can someone who is so absorbed in this material energy, even though he's so dull and everything, how can he get out of it? This is after he had already explained the power of the illusory energy, Maya, the three modes of material nature, all the ingredients, and how we're covered over by this energy, and how we're forced to act. You know, how intelligent the young children were in a class to see that I have no control. I can't look at this. You see? So after describing the illusory energy, the king asked him, well, how can someone get out of it? So then he began to say how we're totally caught up in this material energy, thinking, as Prabhupada says, that this is my house, this is my wife, this is my relationship, so many different things. And as we're seeing in this particular chapter, or the previous chapter, how even in the heavenly planets, I mean, we hear how the heavenly planets, their sense gratification millions and millions of times more than what we even can imagine. But they forget to also say that there's also suffering. I mean, we just saw the battlefield, heads being cut off, arms being sliced, them being smashed, and so many different things. So there's great battles. So this is also there. There's war, there's fighting, actually there's fear. So this Prabhupada, what's his name? Prabhupada? One of the 9 Yogendras was telling them this, that from the highest planet to the lowest planet, there's miseries. So then he says, if someone wants to get out of this cycle of birth and death, he gives here's the translation. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of a bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. So, very nice purports they're given, and it actually explains that this sense gratification is actually a form of suffering. Because when we engage in sense gratification, then that causes us to take another birth and another death. And then another birth, and then another death. So is that enjoyment? No, it's not enjoyment. So there's a nice verse, another nice verse he talks about in the purport. And he explained the four prerequisites for advancement of a sincere disciple. And he quotes this verse, Guru Padashrayas Tasmat Krishna Dikshari Shikshanam Vishrambena Guru Seva Sarvartmanu Vartanam. Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, that's one. Two, becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. Three, obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. And four, following in the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers, under the direction of the spiritual master. And that's a quote from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then he says here that when one actually hears the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as it is, he becomes free from the desire for sense gratification and mental speculation. And then he becomes completely happy and satisfied in his service to Krishna. There's another nice verse, but I'll just read the translation. Simply by giving oral reception to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. So we must hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a bona fide spiritual master, and then he can expertly engage us in loving service to Krishna. And that arises just by hearing this transcendental sound of the Bhagavatam. And within the Krishna consciousness movement, there's many thousands of authorized engagements that we can do pertaining to our missionary activities, you know, different programs. There's so many, it's practically unlimited. And then by performing these activities, the devotees and the members of the society, they actually become free from this lamentation, this illusion, and this fear. So as Prabhupada said, and as we were referring to, that the human being, he has to be intelligent enough to distinguish between prayas, temporary gratification, and shreyas, permanent benefit. Now, Prabhupada refers to a very nice pastime with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was considered to be a speculator, impersonalist speculator. And Lord Chaitanya, in this chapter, it describes how when he fainted seeing the Jagannath deity in the temple, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took him to his house. I think one of the guards was actually going to beat him and kick him out of the temple, so he stopped him and said, no, bring him to my house. And then he thought, you know, was he dead or what? But he put a fine piece of cotton under his nose, and he realized that he was still breathing, but he was experiencing ecstatic symptoms, and he was amazed by this. So later sometime, the devotees actually came, and they were allowed in the house, and they started chanting the holy names of Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya came back to external consciousness. And he started to chant loudly, Hari, Hari, Hari. And then, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told the devotees, okay, I want everyone, you can go take your noon baths and come. I want to serve lunch to everybody. So they served lunch. And then after lunch, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya decided that he was going to preach the Vedanta to Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya agreed, and he told him all this speculative philosophy. Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything. But then finally he asked him, why aren't you saying anything? And Lord Chaitanya explained to him that, you know, your interpretation is not right. This is actually the correct interpretation. So he became so convinced by Lord Chaitanya that he became a devotee. He became a Mahajan, actually. There's many Mahajans. It's described that there's 12 Mahajans. But there's many in the Chaitanya Lita, the six Goswamis, you know, all the different acharyas. Prabhupada mentions them in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that there's many Mahajans. And we have to follow the Mahajans in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he became the proper Muni, one who actually is thoughtful, but not just thoughtful about any mundane thing, but thoughtful about deep things. This is a Muni. He's very thoughtful. He considers things very deeply. You know, another definition of a Muni is that he doesn't just speak uselessly. He's silent. But when he does speak, it's very deep because he's very thoughtful. So there's different descriptions of the Muni described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. How he's silent, how he keeps vows, how he's thoughtful, he's grave. You know, he's a saintly person. He's in the renounced order of life. So when he became so convinced, he just paid his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya revealed his form, his Narayan form. And he also revealed his Krishna form to him. And this is amazing. This is our actual goal, is to get to this point where we can actually understand what a Muni is, become a Muni, and then realize Krishna, just as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did. So we have this opportunity. And it's interesting, we can't just think that, you know, if I engage in devotional service, then I'm gonna lose out on these things like liberation, sense gratification, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. We're gonna miss out on all these things. But actually it's described that if a disciple is very serious to execute the mission of the spiritual master, he immediately associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by Vani or Vapu. This is the only secret of success in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead of being eager to see the Lord in some bush of Vrindavan, while at the same time engaging in sense gratification, if one instead sticks to the principles of following the words of the spiritual master, he will see the Lord without difficulty. So there's another nice quote which verifies this, that if you engage in devotional service, then a devotee will very easily be able to see Krishna everywhere, and that he thinks that liberation will stand at his door with folded hands. So all these material conveniences of dharma, religiosity, artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification, they stand with her, because that's Bhakti Devi, and her associates are all these other forms of liberation. They stand with folded hands ready to serve the devotee. And Prabhupada gives a very interesting thing about that, is that actually what it means to be fearless means that one is surrendered and he completely depends on Krishna. So that fearlessness is like a child. He's completely dependent on his parents. It's not like the devotee expects something from Krishna. You know, I expect this, I expect that. But it's like a child. He doesn't know how to expect anything from his parents. He just depends on them. And that's what a devotee is. He's just dependent on Krishna. So this is surrender to Krishna. And then when one surrenders like that, he's fearless. Because he understands that Krishna has me covered. Krishna is a source of everything. He's a source of all the universes. You know, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I'm surrendered to him. What do I have to lose? You have everything. So thank you very much. Is there any comments or questions? Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Well, thank you.